Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Lois, this is not my Batman class.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always...
Ben Vanell here, Tommy. Where are you this week? That's the game Adam and I are playing. Where's Tommy this week? Where in the world?
Where's Tommy? There's a whole bunch of people who look just like him to throw us off, all standing around there. A bunch of people, you're like, is that a red and white shirt? And you're like, no, it's a candy cane next to a barbershop.
This paints a pretty grim picture of our friendship that I would just be like, boys, I'm away. I'm not telling you where, though, but I am somewhere that's not Melbourne, and you have to guess.
I've gone to the beach or the fun fair
or medieval times.
With, like, flying carpets.
Well, he's certainly gone to the past. He's in bloody Queensland. All right.
In Brisbane, then. They're more forward-thinking than us now, after last weekend, after the election.
Yeah, totally. Well, not us, Adam. We live in the beautiful green seat of Melbourne. But, yeah, you're right. Queensland's going... they're going lefty.
They got thrice the greens. They're like a fucking... If we're a bush, they're three bushes.
Wow. Imagine. if I could have a wish for anything, I'd wish to have three bushes at the same time.
Oh, dude, imagine that.
Fucking yeah.
You're in Queensland, but you're done with shows and stuff, right, Tommy?
I'm done with shows, yeah. I speaking of Queensland being, yeah, more progressive than it has in the past, I'm in Cairns and I got up here just in time to be here as they pulled down a Captain Cook statue that's been here for Christ knows how long. So
about 200 years.
Good for them.
We've still got his house sitting in one of our nicest gardens. But if you're all done with your live shows up there, then I bet you're feeling real annoyed that you don't get the pleasure of performing live for probably months and months, if I had to guess.
Mm. Yeah.
I've retired from live performance officially. The gig that I did at a distillery in Cairns was my Nanette. I was like, that's it. I'm walking away. I'm walking away from the game. No, we have a...
What's that coming through on the news wire?
Breaking news. Morse code is back as a primary means of communication between newsrooms. We're going to do a live show soon.
We're doing a live show. Breaking news and Breaking Bad. The Bad Boys are back, and we're performing live at Comedy Republic in July.
July the 2nd, Saturday, July the 2nd, 5:30 p.m. Come on down if you're in Melbourne, and also if you're not in Melbourne, you can get a streaming ticket to watch the show either live as it's happening or up until 24 hours after it has been on. So you don't have, if the time difference doesn't quite work out for you, you have a full day to be able to watch it. But it's going to be, they've got like proper equipment in there. They've filmed and live streamed stuff before. So it's going to look good. It's going to be good quality. It's going to be just about as good as, the very next best thing to being there in the room. You can get all your tickets either live or streaming through comedyrepublic.com.au, I believe.
So
there'll be a link to the ticket link as well in the description of the podcast, so have a look there, and you can simply click it. You don't even have to remember a URL.
That's right, click it there or go to our socials, which you still should be going and liking and stuff if you don't, because we post stuff there all the time, like videos that we're doing, and we'd show you little previews of what the Patreon episodes are each week. If you've never signed up and you go and, yeah, follow us on Instagram, probably is the best one. We'll tell you what we're doing every single week on Patreon as it comes out, which you should, also sign up for, patreon.com/filthycasualspod. We do an extra episode every single week. Last week, we basically reviewed beat by beat Top Gun, the original. Mm-hmm. And, we're very excited for Maverick. So we watched that, all three of us, and we reviewed that. And, we talk about TV and just stuff that happened to us that's weird and funny. So, patreon.com/filthycasualspod. And YouTube. We got heaps of stuff on the YouTube. We're playing a full motion video dating game called Five Dates at the moment, which is really fun. We've pre-recorded it all, and it went fantastically well.
Five Dates... Yep. It, about the amount that you can eat before feeling sick. I reckon that's the maximum number of dates in one go before you're like, fucking hell, dates are rich.
Yeah, yeah. Where's the main that's meal?
Yeah.
I'm filling bring up on out, dates.
Bring out the, I don't know, what else did they eat in Indiana Jones? That monkey in the second one?
Bring out the snake with baby snakes inside.
I always associate dates with Indiana Jones because I would love to date Harrison Ford. But yeah, we got Patreon. It's giant June. Everybody go sign up. It's lovely June, and we're all enjoying. Yes. We do this podcast, but not about video games. Is the bonus podcast basically
giant June with a J for giant? Is a great. It's great. I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I tell you what, it's not so fucking giant May in the world of video games news.
Yeah,
not a ton going on. It's very much, I think, the post-COVID lull of people having, this is the amount of time after people stopped working for a bit where we're feeling that. Where like the big news stories are like, Sniper Elite 5 is coming out. Oh, cool, man. Yeah, great.
I got an email from the company making the play date asking me to confirm my address because they are getting close to looking at shipping my play date out. And I thought, ha ha, finally a big news story this week to talk about on the pod, a confirmation of address email. Yeah. This is a huge scoop.
With the word maybe in it 43 times.
And yeah, you're like, well, I currently live here, but by the time they ship, who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah, they might need to send out another, a second follow-up. A lot can happen in a couple of months, which I assume is how much longer I'm going to be waiting. But boys, I'm up here in Cairns, as I said. There's not a lot going on video games-wise. I had to resort to getting myself onto, I guess, what you could call some form of analog game.
Okay.
Only have the Switch and the mobile with me. There's something on the mobile that we'll talk about a bit later. Not much going on the Switch. So I was in a little market and I bought myself a stress ball.
The adult's game. Relieving that anxiety that builds more every day.
Is it like...
Exactly.
Do you have a plain business stress ball or a novelty stress ball that says like, my boss's head on it or whatever?
This one was it was in the shape of a little avocado. It was a little avocado with a face on it, and it had like a cross section, and you could see the little seed thing in the middle. And he's
stress ball
smiling.
For cooks, a chef's ball.
I was going to say a stress ball for millennials, a millennial stress ball.
It's a shame you bought that stress ball because now you can't afford a house.
Fuck yeah, that's funny shit, dude. If you still had Twitter. Oh, Maroon.
Are you squeezing this because you're going to be living in a rental forever?
Fuck. I mean, this is good comedy, and we're treating it like it's terrible.
All right. Let's review the stress ball, Tommy.
I would love to. I thought I was having a good time here in Cairns, unwinding by the pool, going snorkeling. My girlfriend's here with me. We're having a really nice time, and then... Just kind of like laying on the bed, kind of fiddling with the stress ball, burst it. Pop the stress ball. Yeah.
How fucking
I thought I was pretty chill, but I guess not. I obliterated this thing. After an hour of owning it, I smashed it apart.
How many squeezes?
What does the stress ball contain?
Pardon? Ben, I'll go to your question first.
Mr. President. Ah, damn it.
How many squeezes did it take to burst?
I would estimate somewhere in the region of 30, 40.
That's a low number.
Yeah, that's not much.
Now, my question is a two-parter.
Oh, God, here we go. Here, this guy's bloody showboating over here. He just wants everyone in the press room to look at him.
Adam Knox here, Balls and Beads
Magazine.
Just
wants everyone to know how much he knows about stress balls.
Yeah.
We're Balls and Beads Magazine, we cover all sorts of fiddleable balls, such as stress balls or rosary beads, those sorts of things. Mr. Dasilo, what in... your estimate would be the, either in PSI or whatever measurement you want to give, would be the pressure that you were applying to this stress ball. And the second part of the question is, what did the ball contain? I'll take my answer off the air.
PSI okay. stands for please squeeze it, I believe.
Well, you know, I was being pretty, because the ones in the store that are like the try me, you know, they're like the disgusting, it's got like fingerprints and just grot all over it. They're kind of like really loose because they've been squeezed heaps. But this one, because it was a freshie.
That's actually a myth. It doesn't matter how many times you squeeze them. The body repairs.
It's not like the hand gets thinner the more it squeezes. So why would the ball get looser? It's bloody MRA talking points.
Yeah.
It was pretty taut, I guess you could say. Okay. So I was sort of being gentle to begin with, and then I felt like it had a fair bit of give to it. So I was like, really warming up, getting those muscles warmed up.
Sure.
And really,
that is what it's
really
for.
Giving it a, yeah.
Okay. Well, Adam Knox here from Relaxation Equipment Quarterly. So what was contained inside of the stress ball? I'll take my answer on the air.
Hard to describe, a very like thick goop that sort of like all of a sudden I look down, my hand is covered in this like goop that's very like keeps its shape, like it's very
flubber
thick.
You're talking
about
flubber.
It sounds like flubber.
It's clear flubber. It's ghost flubber.
Okay.
It's see-through flubber,
like when flubber and dies on the beach.
Which, look, I hate to say it, but I then had to like go in the bathroom and kind of like wash it off my hand and just like chuck as much of it as I could in the bin. And then I realized, like, unfortunately, this substance shares a lot of characteristics with something that it would be unfortunate for a maid to just see tons of just chucked in a bin in a hotel room. So,
they wouldn't have ever seen that before either.
probably not in that volume, honestly. Like,
right, I was going to say, like, in that consistency, it's like if they looked closer, they'd be like, is that alien cum? Like, what actually is
so
that?
So, look, yeah, my review of the avocado stress ball from the Cairns night market, had a lot of fun with it. But just a very short experience.
Right. Not a lot of replayability at this point.
Yeah, no new game plus. Be advised. Like, it's a good time. It's like a Kirby game. It's a really good time, but if you're after something with a bit more longevity, this isn't the experience for you.
And this avocado stress ball does that, like, old Hideo Kojima idea of, like, if you die... it burns the CD inside of the PS3.
Yeah.
It burns the Blu-ray, so you get one shot. Speaking of Kojima, the biggest video game news of the week, to my mind, has come out of an interview with Norman Reedus in a magazine called Leo. The May issue of Leo, which I believe makes this one... a Pisces?
No.
Pisces magazine? Taurus. This was Taurus magazine this month. God, I Googled it. Anyway, so they were asking him, about the end of The Walking Dead and The Walking Dead wrapping up and all that stuff and what he's working on next. And I want to find the exact quote here because I don't believe he said he's working on Death Stranding 2. Specifically, he said, Okay, here's the question and the answer. Okay, so you got the book going on, you got the final season coming out, then the spin-off, and you're filming Death Stranding, the video game, and Norman Reedus says, we just started the second one. Then they ask him, how did that come about? He says he Guillermo del Toro introduced him to Hideo Kojima, da-da-da. He loves all the mocap and thinks it's crazy technology. But yeah, so he basically confirmed they're working on a new... Because he says the second one, in that context, they do mention Death Stranding in name. So maybe it is a Death Stranding 2. Mm-hmm. It could also very reasonably be Norman Reedus being in the second Hideo Kojima Productions game.
Right.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
as an actor again. But that's
that
pretty
language
cool.
does seem to suggest a second Death Stranding, though.
The second
it does.
One.
Yeah. And then Hideo Kojima posted on like Twitter or Instagram or something photos of him beating Norman Reedus up with a barbed wire baseball bat. that was like, keep your mouth shut.
Although
he also did a big post about Paddington 2, which I loved.
Oh, yeah.
There's a big thing shouting out the movie, and then it was him with one of those, like, you know, those very elaborate action figures that are like $400 of Paddington, and it's like a foot-long Paddington that he's just taking a photo of himself hanging out with, like they're pals.
You can replace the anorak with, like, plastic titties as well, as is tradition with that type of figurine.
One thing that jumped out to me, just reading that quote as well, Knox, is that... So he says, it took me maybe 2 or 3 years to finish all the mocap sessions for the first one, which indicates if they've just started the second one, Death Stranding 2 is about 2 or 3 years away, at least.
That would make sense, but I wonder if also that 2 or 3 years involves the Silent Hills mocap as well, possibly.
Maybe,
because
yeah,
he was working on that, but I think that also kind of wouldn't make sense because PT came out in like 2014 or something, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So, and Death Stranding was 2019. So, yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
And it makes sense that it would be that long because, like, they are, despite being large and having a big name and everything, an indie studio, technically, that will take time to make a second game of that scale. But I'd be up for a second one, honestly.
Yeah, I get
yeah. What would you guys want to see in it? Would you be happy with just kind of more of the same, the traversal? Would you want it to shift it up in any way?
Yeah, I think it'd be cool for it to change at least enough to not make it feel like an expansion or whatever. Because, I mean, I think in the past I've said, and I do still think in some ways, that first one is absolutely fine as a standalone and could exist forever just as being a one-of.
Mm.
So it would be interesting to see them do something different. If that different thing is done in the Death Stranding world or whatever, that would also be fine. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what it would be, honestly. There's no...
Yeah, I don't know that it can be... I don't know that what I want is like Metal Gear Solid 2. You know, like I don't think I want the same... genre just improved, you know, like, and I'm sure there are improvements that can be made mechanically, things can be added, story would be different obviously, but I don't know, I feel like I want him to do a different genre or something, almost, you know, like do a more action focused game, do a stealth only game where you don't kill anyone, or you know, something, do something more scary, I don't know.
Yeah, but I don't think there's a lot to be gained from that same kind of gameplay, but just in a different map. Like, I don't really feel like that would be much of a different experience.
I think a cool thing could be going further with the exploration and traversal stuff, where you've got a much further distance to cover. Mm. Say you're going, I think Death Stranding was on, like, the West Coast, right? Say for whatever reason you've got to deliver something to the East Coast, and you've got this huge journey that you're alone for or whatever, and make it like this more...
And there's deserts and there's other sort of stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
There's ways of... I don't know. It seeing it be pretty well confirmed, I would say, that it is in production, it does now make me a little more like, you know what, I could go again, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. A prequel could be cool. Kind of see all that stuff as it was kicking off.
Yeah. Yeah. I could suck that down. I don't know. Yeah, I just know that he's capable of making games with like a bit more to them gameplay-wise. And I ended up really liking the silliness of the story and the seriousness of it as well. And you know, the visual design is just like 10 out of 10. Like I think I, you know, yeah. I'd always felt that about it. All the trailers, all the logos, the you know, where technology goes, it's just like the best stuff in gaming. So I'm still interested, or I'm still into it if it is literally just, you know, more Sam, what is his name? Sam something Bridges?
Porter Bridges.
Porter. Sam Porter Bridges, you know, delivering things or, you know, getting somewhere to save the day. But I wouldn't hate if they take a like a big left turn with it and unbalance and all their boxes fall on the ground. But like I wouldn't hate it if they go, this is the world we're in, but the games might be different kinds of games.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to see them. I mean, I think the implementation of the always online kind of stuff and the leaving things around for other players, I think that's maybe the best implementation of that kind of thing I've seen in a game. I know it's kind of just an extension of what's in the Souls games, but the way the Soul, like the way it functions practically in the Souls games doesn't really do it for me. It's just these like kind of prank messages in my experience that are littered around that for me don't really add anything to the experience, whether they're off or on. That's just me personally, how I feel about it. But with the Death Stranding stuff, it's like the fact that you know that a real person has made this bridge for you or left this ladder here to make it easier. I thought that was like just such a neat, just such a neat feeling. And it was like a generally speaking, like a very helpful and supportive community. I thought that was great. So like kind of more of that and a refinement and even or like broadening of that, I think would be interesting to see, because they really pulled off something pretty great there, I think.
Having everyone kind of pour coins into the same bucket or whatever you would say was a cool way of doing that type of multiplayer. I agree. I think it's the exploration stuff, though, for me, maybe just because, like that type of game appeals to me where you got a big task and you got to figure out how to do it. Speaking of big tasks that people are trying to figure out how to do, this PlayStation Plus rollout stuff seems to be going bad.
People are getting real mad about it, which, hey, people on the internet getting really mad about something that at the end of the day isn't that important. Who could have seen that coming? But, yeah, I saw a lot of tweets and stuff of people being like, now, did I misunderstand or am I going to have to... So the thing is, people have bought like 3 years of PlayStation Plus as it exists at a big discount various times a year. PlayStation Store does these big discounts. And
I currently have that. I've got until 2025 or something, I'm pretty sure, stacked or four. Because they did it for however much percent off at some point. I was like, well, I'm going to have it anyway. Might as well save some money now.
Yeah. I think I just do it year by year. But I just buy a year when I see them discounted, because they discount it every year. But people who, I think, it's not people who are like actually in the process of upgrading, because it's only been rolling out in Asia territories, but people being like, so in the fine print, if I'm reading this right, if I have 3 years of discounted PlayStation Plus and I want to upgrade to the comparable tier in the new service, I've got to get that new service for all 3 years and not at a discount.
I think it's when you're going up a tier, because you automatically move over. So if you've got PlayStation Plus now, you automatically move over to Essential and you're not paying anything else.
Yes. Yeah.
And then if you want to go up to Extra or Deluxe or whatever the fuck that one in Australia is called, because our internet is too bad to stream games.
Yep, All-Star or something, whatever they are.
Whatever that one is.
I think it is Deluxe maybe, yeah.
Then you'll be paying the extra difference between what would have been the upgrade price and then filling in the discount. You got.
Yeah.
Does that sort of make sense? But then also Sony, some parts of Sony are saying, no, we won't do that. And then other people they sent emails to were like, yeah, that's the case. So it seems as though there hasn't been an effective like internal communication of this, or no. They've changed their mind at
it
some
looks,
point.
It looks like the latest thing that Sony have tweeted, so 6 a.m. today, our time, I believe,
okay.
Says, due to a technical error, players in Asia who have previously purchased a PlayStation Plus membership at a discount have been incorrectly charged for their upgrade pricing. This error has been fixed, and impacted players will receive a credit. We thank you for your patience.
Cool.
So it looks like they didn't figure out probably their billing system, and this is one of those bugs that they, you know, you discover when you launch something, right. Which happens with literally everything that has ever been launched. But people were real pissed off about it. Even the people who were just speculating it was going to happen to them, people in the States and stuff like that.
Yeah. So, they've released some like game lists and stuff for that too, which are a little thin so far. Mm-hmm. There's like, they haven't said every game yet, I'm pretty sure. So this is still like a pretty early on list where they've given some examples of like, hey, guess what? You'll play Ape Escape and Jumping Flash and Hot Shots Golf on the PS1 and like just kind of a weird little collection of like, oh, everyone was hanging out for Fantavision on the PS2.
Right.
We all wanted to play that fucking fireworks game from the launch. But I don't know. It's coming along and June 23rd is the date here and earlier everywhere else. But right. I don't know. Yeah, it's still not really the sort of thing where that's getting me to wrap my teeth around a bullet and chomp down yet.
I'm not. I mean, I'm not going to upgrade. I'm just going to get. Yeah. I mean, well, I guess we in Australia, we have either default or one extra tier.
So we either get the one that the most we can get is the one that has everything except for PS3 games. It's like a custom tier for here. Like it's okay. Everything except for PS3 game streaming because we can't, the internet isn't good enough here to stream games reliably.
But what if you just have PS Plus now, yeah. What does that turn into? That
the same thing. It's right. Just the basic thing. You get the same stuff you've always gotten. The like you get two monthly downloadable games now, which they've slowly been reducing that number over time.
That's
cloud
right.
Storage and whatever.
Yeah.
The next one up, you get like a bunch of PS4 games and PS5 games, the kind of backlog there. And then the next one up, you get PS1, 2, and P games.
Right.
But and in the rest of the world, PS3 games as well.
Right, right, right. Okay. So, I think this is, if I'm looking at the right thing, May 16th, 2022, yeah. All new PlayStation Plus game lineup. So they like chucking Assassin's Creed Valhalla on there, Demon's Souls, The Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut, 2K22.
We're in an unusual position where a bunch of these games we've played as well because we try to keep on top of stuff for this.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like it certainly is more appealing, like the demos and stuff that you'll get, the free trials and whatever are more appealing to the people who don't, you know, keep us regularly up with games as we do. Mm-hmm. And I've looked at, there's been a couple of videos go up of like the PS1 games and how they're running and being dealt with on a PS5 and they look fine. There's like some sort of filters and stuff they're doing that look okay. It looks all basically as you would want it to. So it's not bad. It's just, I don't know, man. Like it is... a pricey way of doing a service that is comparable with the Nintendo Switch Online one, which is much cheaper, rather than being comparable with Game Pass, you know? The fact that they're not doing those day-old releases does hinder it for me.
Yeah. I do think, just personally, though, what you get in the extra premium and deluxe plans is way better than anything that Nintendo have offered. Like, because it's not just retro games, like they're adding like Returnal, the Spider-Man games, like as in, you know, the new Spider-Man and Miles Morales, the Infamous games,
true. And it's like I say, it's probably easier for me to overlook that sort of thing because I played the majority of those games at the time, you know?
Yeah, like we got Celeste, Cities Skylines, Far Cry 3 and 4, For Honor, Hollow Knight, Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm trying to Outer Wilds, Red Dead Redemption 2, Resident Evil, Soul Calibur. Like, there's a lot of games that are, like, recent games. And then, yeah, as well, there are, like, Tekken 2, Worms, Armageddon, you know, stuff like that. So, at Bioshock, like, they're adding a lot to the what is currently, like, the PlayStation Plus library collection thing, whatever.
I think a lot of it seems to be based around the idea that, and it's a little bit irrelevant at the moment because people still can't get PS5s, but when they can, when they're a little bit more readily available, just getting it stacked up so that it's like day one out of the box, you just pay a fee and then you just have all this stuff ready to go. Mm. It kind of feels like that's what, and they kind of already had that with that PS Plus legacy collection thing. Like, I think if you sell that to someone of like, hey, you don't even need to worry about when you're down at the shop picking up another game with this because you plug it in, you put your credit card in, you pay your fee, and then you just set all this shit downloading, and then you've got all this stuff that you haven't engaged with yet, or that you've never had, because maybe you're someone who never had a previous console before. So,
yeah,
like, I think it's a smart move in that sense to just if you make the sell, like, hey, this is all here for you on day one when you finally get this. When you can finally walk down to the shop and get one of these consoles in 2029 or whenever that's going to be.
Yeah, it isn't bad. It's in between how good Game Pass is versus the Switch Online thing, where the Switch Online, you get all the old games, but it's much cheaper. Xbox Game Pass, you get brand new games, and it's the same price as this. And this one is kind of in the middle, where you get a bunch of more recent and older games, but not new games, but it costs the same as Game Pass. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but like, Game Pass is good. Like, I'm happy to pay $10 a month on PC to try new games. But in terms of stuff that I keep in my collection, there's like one game. I've got Crusader Kings 3. And, you know, like, I compare it to this list. Like, most of these games are like actual bangers. Like, there's games that I've bought physically and keep and play over and over again. There's Uncharted, there's, you know, Last of Us, there's Returnal, there's Demon's Souls, Blood, but like, there's games where it's like, I would have bought this to keep for the rest of my life, as opposed to Game Pass, which is a bit more ephemeral. Like, if you play multiplayer Halo and stuff like that, obviously it pays for itself pretty much, but
well, that's free to play anyway.
Well, I guess, yeah, if you play, what is something that you want to keep in your Xbox Game Pass library?
I think rather than keeping stuff, it is that trickle of brand new stuff coming in that you get to try out is the most appealing thing of that, for sure. Yeah. Mm. But, like, I guess that Master Chief Collection stays on there, or, like, whatever. But then, yeah, like, that's the last thing I was going to say, is the reason, which I've already kind of said, but this is like, hey, get a free pass to come see as many movies as you want during the year for a set price. And I'm like, well, I don't need that because I live next to a drive-in and I just lean out my window and look at them. It's like, yeah, you can get movies in a different way, but this is good if you don't have that.
Right. Right. And, you know, there's enough people out there who are like actually rabid Sony people, or just not rabid, people who have just always had PlayStations, who were like, yeah, awesome, like, I get all these games and you know, my online stuff and old stuff that is less easy to access, or, you know, if they're not emulating, I don't know. Yeah
It just then becomes $120 a year more expensive than Game Pass if you want two new games a year, you know. And then that's the sort of thing that if they were able to sort of fold that in, then this would be a hell of a thing.
Mm.
At some point, kind of the sort of thing that maybe if you really wanted to splurge, you could grab a PS5 and a subscription to this for a Father's Day present for your dad. But boy, that would sure be a big expenditure. Maybe there's something more value packed that you could get.
I was going to say, speaking of folding it in, that's very good advice for...
Look, if you get really excited by personal grooming like we do, then you should check out manscaped.com. That's right. This episode of Filthy Casuals is brought to you by Manscaped, the leaders in men's personal grooming. Is that their slogan? It should be. Gentlemen.
I think it's eat fresh. Is that them?
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Yeah, it's, I think that's the jingle. Gentlemen and ladies, Father's Day is just around the corner in America and the, I assume the Northern Hemisphere. And our friends
maybe
at Manscaped.
Too. I don't know.
No, it's in like September because my dad's birthday is in August and then he gets Father's Day like 2 weeks later.
That's that happens to my mum in April and May.
Right.
Doesn't that give you a fucking heart attack? You're on the socials and you just see all these like people yes. posting that it's Mother's Day and you're like, oh my God. Oh no, hang on. They're all American.
They're all Yanks. But if you are a Yank, or a less derisive term for American... Manscaped are here to ensure that all the father figures out there are looking like daddy material this June.
Right.
Manscaped's Performance Package 4.0, which includes their signature Lawnmower 4.0, is the perfect bundle to tackle any and all old man hair from head to toe.
Or any, okay. or young hair as well. You could get either with this.
Yeah. Well, you could be a young father. This right here is no dad joke. Correct. It wasn't. Mm-hmm. There wasn't one.
Mm-hmm.
Treat him and yourself and join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code FILTHY at manscaped.com. Trust me, his dad bod will thank you.
Yeah.
So now, that's all dad stuff. That's all dad related.
Yep, yep.
Yeah. Putting daddy on a box to your father is weird, but all right.
Yeah.
Happy Father's Day, Zaddy.
Anyway, put this on your privates. But yeah, manscaped.com. Use the code FILTHY, 20% off free shipping. Amazing deal. As we've said before, fantastic products.
But Ben, the problem is I'd love to get this for my father, and yes. that is the only term I will refer to him as.
Yeah.
The problem
How
is
your father?
He's constantly checking information going into and out of my IP address.
Oh, he's one of those like very strict parents. Doesn't let you, for instance, order him personal grooming things online. He checks every in and out.
That's right. So I don't know how I'm going to get around that and order him a Father's Day gift.
Well, you could use the services of NordVPN. That's right, NordVPN. This episode sponsored by NordVPN.
It's so funny when people say that's right in ads when they're like, ah, it's NordVPN, as if people's reaction is like, oh my God, no way.
You guessed it.
No, it's not.
It's Reed Richards.
Speaking the truth, NordVPN. Of course, for all of us and all of our listeners, we're all very online people. We buy shit. We do net banking. We send private documents. We write comedy, which needs to be heavily locked down by extreme
confidential
security.
People watermarked with the name of the person you've sent it to over the top of it. So if it leaks online, you know who the rat was.
Yep. Mm. Yep. That's Adam's joke about the hot tap being too hot, but the cold tap being too loose.
I've noticed it about my house. Well, if I wanted that level of security, I've got to send some documents later and maybe I'll activate my NordVPN, which is a very easy to use app and it protects you in terms of security and identity and also lets you travel the globe from the comfort of your own fucking lazy fucking ass.
That's right. It's not just for security. You can go watch stuff on the BBC, the ABC.
The Abe.
Change your Netflix region so you can watch like Twin Peaks on Netflix, which is something
you can cancel Netflix in 50 different countries.
yeah. but yeah, if you want to use NordVPN, which we recommend you do, we've been using it as just like non-endorsement, you know, people. Knox and I have used it for years. You can get a really good deal, and it's exclusive. By going to nordvpn.com/filthy or using the code filthy anywhere on the website, you get a huge discount, you get additional month free, and you get a little gift. And there's 30-day money-back guarantee as well, so it's risk-free, but you won't want to get your money back because NordVPN is the best VPN on the internet. I love it. I swear by it. So, yeah, if you want to get it, which you should...
I held up a printed out copy of my subscription to NordVPN when I had to put my hand over it in court. That's how much I swear by NordVPN.
When you were sworn in as the Prime Minister, you didn't swear on the Bible, you swore on NordVPN.
That was it. I was raised by a single father who didn't trust anybody. That's my backstory that I'm going around with this campaign trail.
NordVPN.com/filthy, massive discount, bonus month, bonus gift. You'd be crazy not to.
Tell you what else was a good deal was the price of free for something I've been meaning to get around to for ages. I think it came out late last year for the anniversary of it. So it's for the anniversary of Kid A and Amnesiac, which came out in 2001 and 2, Radiohead albums. So it's still the 20-year anniversary of the pair.
Right.
And I finally went through Kid A Amnesia, which is the sort of virtual museum that they put out on PC and on PS5. I think it's just those two. It is just a free download. It's made using Unreal. And it's very cool. You certainly need to like Radiohead already going in. I'm not sure how much you're going to get out of this if you've never heard these albums before and don't particularly care for the band, because it's basically like a large kind of modern museum setup with a few, you know, like stuff that you couldn't do in a real museum, like big kind of creatures walking around and things like that. But you travel through at ideally a slow place, and the thing is covered with very Radiohead-y artwork. So it's lots of sort of scrawled out nonsensical notes on the walls and sort of hand-drawn little pictures, but then also kind of cool graphic paintings and a big variety of stuff, and then a lot of like sort of light shows and strange rooms and interesting video gamey kind of design stuff being done with the spaces that are in this museum, because it is of course a game, so you can do lots with particle effects and lighting and then, of course, with music.
It might not shock you to learn this, Knox, but that Radiohead-y artwork was all done by the guy who's done all of Radiohead's artwork.
Yes, so it is made by the band and the guy. Oh, it's like fucking Simon. What's his name?
Stanley Donwood.
Stanley Donwood, that's it. So, yeah, he's the guy who is, you know, the sixth Beatle, and then he joined Radiohead as well.
He's very, very prolific. But yeah, he's a painter, he's a designer, he's a drawer, apparently.
Right. So it's a lot of his stuff, designs on the walls, and then, you know, there's credits at the end with everyone sort of contributed ideas. And it's well made. You know, you're walking around these creative little museum pieces that it feels kind of like one of those like Fortnite concerts we've had a look at in the past.
Yeah, right.
Where you're being taken through this music video. At points it kind of does that. We'll run you through like a thing happening around you or to you or whatever. But most of the time you're sort of walking around these rooms at your own pace that have different sort of the stems of the different songs from the album fading in instrumental parts and doing sort of weird mashups with multiple songs from the two albums and some from outside of them. You'll have to stand in a room for quite a long time for some bits to flow in and out and stuff as well. So it feels very, very much like being in a really good gallery where you, if something connects with you, spend some time there so that you can, and maybe it'll progress a little bit, you know? Lots of different ideas in there, not particularly long as well. So if you've got a spare, I mean, you could do it in like 30, 40 minutes. But if you've got like an hour and a half, 2 hours to shut the lights off, if you like Radiohead and really sink into it, it's a good time. It's a really cool little thing for a band like that to put out. I really like when these sort of multimedia things like this come out. You know, it's like a Lemonade or whatever.
Right.
Where it's like, oh, there's this cool other format that this musician is using to explore their music. And especially when it's revisiting 20-year-old material like this, it means you can tell they're not being precious with that stuff anymore. It's long enough ago that they're like, oh, we can reflect on this properly and have a bit of fun with it this time. So they're bringing in and out different tracks that sort of match up with each other, or yeah, like sucking out one little 10 second portion of it and exploring that further and stuff like that, that really, really was cool for me. I'm a big fan of the band,
yeah,
and of these albums in particular. So I'd love to see more stuff like this happen in the future, because I think this was a really, really cool and like appropriate use of video games as a thing and video game engines as a visual, you know, platform.
Right.
I think that it really works well and is a lot of fun to go through. If you've just been putting it up, like, I don't know why, I always knew it was the sort of thing where I want to, you know, put the lights off and sit there for a couple of hours. So I always put it off.
Yeah.
Finally got around to it and had a good time. And well, yeah, guess still what? Free to the best of my knowledge.
You can thank COVID for this, Knox, because this was meant to be a physical exhibition and they cancelled it. And that's why they pivoted to digital. It was meant to be real. It was meant to be in London or something. And
right.
Yeah, they moved the whole thing. They retained all of the like creatives, it seems like, people who are set designers, people who are like, make exhibitions, and they all work together on making it digital, which is awesome.
Really cool, because it does. There's certainly areas of it that are just set up like a concrete warehouse. Like they really look like you're in a gallery and have that exact feeling. And I suppose based on that, would be modeled off of floor plans of a real gallery, because if they'd already done some of that design work.
Yeah.
And then this has come along and they've been able to go, okay, well, what if this staircase goes on forever? And at this bit you fly and what that sort of stuff. So it really works. It's a very cool thing. And if you like Radiohead even a bit, maybe go and listen to those couple of albums first and then jump into this thing and have a little walk around.
Speaking of... absolute works of art.
Reflecting back on a rich artistic legacy that goes back 20 odd years.
Iconic things from other media being explored further through the medium of video games.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Radiohead of television animated comedy.
Tom York is Family Guy.
Okay.
Johnny Greenwood is American Dad. Colin Greenwood is King of the Hill, and Phil Selway is the other one, the space one, that I still don't remember the name of.
Solar Opposites.
Yeah, that's Solar the one. Opposites,
Ed whatever isn't one. He's not in there.
Ed O'Brien?
Ed O'Brien, that's it. I wanted to say Ed Harris, and I knew it wasn't that.
Ed Harris in radio. Yeah, sick.
This song's terrible. We should do a song about the military.
Yeah, Warped Kart Races. We hyped it up a few weeks ago. Mm. It finally dropped on Apple Arcade. Last week, I've been playing it. I was sharing an Airbnb in Brisbane with our friend Cameron James, and it was very embarrassing to have him discover me playing a Family Guy racing game on my mobile phone and have to be like, it's work. It's for work.
The man who's built his career on loving Mike Myers surely can allow you the indulgence of Family Guy.
Well, funnily enough, when he saw that, he was on his way into his bedroom to record a podcast about that new Mike Myers show that's just gone up on Netflix. Right. So, yeah, we were both engaging in some very embarrassing stuff under the guise of employment. Yeah.
Wish I could have been there to beat you both up.
Yeah, guys, shut up. I'm watching a Radiohead video game, okay?
Yeah. I'm wishing I had the courage to ask for weed off of someone so that I could have been high when I played this, but I'm too socially anxious to get marijuana.
So
Warped Kart Races.
I expected this game to be a bit of a joke, right? Like I went into it being like, oh yeah, this will be, you know, whatever, worth doing for the pod because we've talked about it. And then I think we're all having the same experience where we all really enjoy it. It's a really fun kart racing game.
It's pretty good, yeah. Is it Apple Arcade only?
It is, yeah. I had to jump back on the arcade.
So you're talking, though, that means cross-platform. You're talking Mac. You're talking iPhone. You're talking iPad.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking Apple TV. And you can pair a controller with it. So it is Mario Kart.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
No surprise there. But how closely they've been able to approach the feeling of Mario Kart 8 specifically,
mm-hmm.
and like the highly tuned, well-made controls of Mario Kart 8, they've really gotten close.
Yeah. So they on all platforms, you don't have to accelerate. That's correct.
You are just constantly moving forward, and you can sort of brake a bit, but it's just ditches the accelerate button, and you've got basically, you know, the ability to turn, the ability to hop, and the ability to shoot an item.
That's it. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure because, yeah, I've played it on MacBook, but not with a controller yet, just with the keyboard, which still worked surprisingly well. It's like, you know, WASD, space to shoot stuff, right shift to hop and drift. But yeah, you're right. The controls honestly feel exactly like Mario Kart. Like I didn't have really any moment of adjustment aside from it being on a keyboard, but it feels really, really good. The boosts and stuff are all there. A lot of, you know, little jumping, gliding, and a bunch of stuff to unlock. Like, even throughout the prologue, it introduces you really well to, like, little antennas, little outfits, obviously new carts, new gliders, all of that shit.
And you're unlocking that stuff as you go through a fairly high number of tracks in this sort of career mode.
Mm.
It'll get you to go
There's
through
16, kind of- right? There's four for each show, I think.
Right.
Yeah. You do as a little cup.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think you got five characters from each show as well.
Mm.
And then a pretty, you know, quite a lot of customizable stuff from like, you know, lawnmowers as carts from King of the Hill or like a CIA car from American Dad, that sort of thing.
Yep.
And the progression is sort of fun because you get these challenges in each race where on top of like, you know, win the race if you can is... drift for X number of meters or whatever, or glide for this long, or
shoot three people. Or, yeah,
right. Which is a fun extra layer on a racing game that I can't remember really seeing done like this before. It's sort of like a Project Gotham or something like that, where you've got these almost Tony Hawk-y kind of objectives to be thinking about at the same time as racing, which really adds something. It's an engaging mechanic.
It feels, maybe because it's free to play with a subscription service, has added to my perception, but it feels a bit Fortnite-y. Except because Fortnite, we've played it, we've talked about it, there's videos of us doing it. It has challenges, you know, and you can accept them or not, you can engage with them or not, but it does have those challenges within every battle royale game of like, you know, headshot five people or whatever. I just always ignored them. And in this, because they, I think, integrated well from the start, like they start off incredibly basic and then build up as you go, I'm engaged with them. I'm enjoying being able to tick off these challenges. And yeah, like you said, Nox, it does add something to the existing gameplay, which is classic kart racing.
Yeah, I went back and played some Mario Kart 8 after this to be like, I've got to be imagining that it feels exactly the same. And Mario Kart is still like just a little tighter, but this is very good for the sort of scale of game this is as well. It's got these like, so it's got voice clips from the different shows that are taken from the shows.
Yes.
Yeah.
And basically irrelevant to any context they're being delivered within inside of the game.
Yeah, they're sort of, you can see why they've picked them, but they're like, they're not, they're vaguely in the realm of like, you know, you get hit by a shell and then there's like something that you're saying where you're like, oh, I can, yeah, I can see the logic in taking this clip, but it's like, it's never spot on. It's like, it's kind of like 60% of the way there where it does seem slightly incongruous. And that's, I mean, it's all the presentation in the menus is great. The characters are well animated. Those vocal clips, like there's something to be said for them being in there at all. But
And there's certainly a lot of them that come up. And sometimes that, like you say, sometimes you can see where they pulled them where like, you know, you'll win a race and be like, well, that's my work done for the day or whatever. Yeah. I don't know which one of them that was. Yeah, Lois, I managed to pull it off. Or whatever.
I'm a dog, but then I'm a normal character, and I'm happy I've finished the race. That was Brian.
Sometimes you'll win a race, and it'll be like, just something like, hey, quick, get in the car, everyone. And like, oh, all right.
Yeah.
Peg's dinner ready, Peg?
Yeah.
Because there is a lot of it that's like, yeah, the little animations that the characters do when they've won a race, which is which are all really good and really well done. But then, yeah, that element of the voice stuff and sort of the tracks themselves being a bit like they're well designed, but in terms of what they're pulling from the worlds of the shows, it is all slightly soulless in the sense of how it's all coming together too. It's like there literally is no reason for there to be a Family Guy, King of the Hill, like this weird sort of mix of these shows that they've chosen. And so I went back to the Mario Kart mobile game after playing this. Every now and then I'll be inspired for whatever reason to dip back in on it. And it's, God, it's frustrating how much better of a Mario Kart feeling game for the phone this is than the actual Mario Kart mobile game. Yeah. It's so annoying. It's so annoying that it doesn't feel exactly like this. Like it's, because it's all there. It's like these mechanics are like perfect for playing this kind of game on a phone. And even like having the little challenges in the races kind of feels like a bit of a concession towards like, you're not really driving in the same way that you would be normally. Like, you're not accelerating, you're not braking. Like, you are losing a certain degree of finesse by not having a stick to kind of weave in and out and take corners. And so having little challenges, I think, is a really good way of overcoming that, that the racing just in and of itself might feel a little flat if that's all you were doing. Like, it's such a well-designed package in every way for a mobile, for a mobile version of Mario Kart. And then, going back into the Mario Kart Tour, it's got all its weird stuff that you have to pay money for, and it's all like the cups are all timed, and it's like I still can't really get my head around how it all works in terms of the way the cups are, you know, they disappear after a couple of days and all that other stuff. It's really frustrating, but this is if you were let down by Mario Kart Tour, this is the game for you. It's a really fun car racer.
So strange, and was kind of annoying to realize like, oh, this game is actually pretty good, because I thought we'd just go like, haha, warped kart races is dumb, and realizing like, fuck, I'm gonna have to actually talk about this. It's like this is one of the better games really I've good. Played this
it's,
month.
It's yeah. good. Like the visuals are great. You know, it's cel shaded without changing the look of the characters much at all. Like it feels really, really realistic it feels like it honors the original cartoons.
Runs really well on, I've got an iPhone 12 and it was just absolutely hooning along.
Yep.
Yeah.
What
you
else
know what
I
is
strange?
Speaking of the voice
good.
Samples thing is Luann does not speak in the game, presumably because they couldn't license Brittany Murphy's voice for whatever reason, which is weird when
for whatever reason.
Like,
probably because she's dead.
Well, sure.
Probably
well, but
one
I mean,
but
I,
no,
like, I don't really know how that works, because all this stuff, they haven't gotten people in. They've just yanked it from the show because they hold the rights to it. Like, I don't really get how it works where they, I don't know if they've had to clear this with anyone by the sounds of it, but
I assume that when you sign certain rights and royalties deals, they expire after a certain point if you don't re-up them.
Maybe, right.
So I looked into the developer of this game, and the only thing they've made previously is a mobile kart racer, or a car racer, actually. It just looks like a racing game. Same interface. Like, I assume they've just done a reskinning job, but the reskinning job is cool. Like, it is funny to play as Hank Hill. Mm. Like, I'm enjoying it.
And it's got the battle mode and racing mode, sort of same as Mario Kart. And there is multiplayer, which I haven't been able to get into a multiplayer game at all.
Yeah, right.
And I've tried a couple of times, and that hasn't been working, or there hasn't been anyone playing it. So can't speak to that, but it's pretty fun. And if you've got Apple Arcade, it's free. So
I just wish it went a bit further. I wish there were a few more, like, get Bob's Burgers in there. Get, you know, it'd be, if it was kind of like stacked with those properties that Fox owns. I think it that side of it would feel a little less strange
I believe Electric Square, who are these people too, also work on as an outside studio other sort of AAA games as well. So on their website it's got like Sniper Elite 5 and Battlefield 2042 and some stuff like that that they have also been I suppose collaborators on.
Yeah, I wonder if they
Assassin's Creed.
If they do mobile ports or you know, some of those games have apps tied to the games, but
I think they've just come in and worked on that, because then it's also got Detonation and then like Forza Street and Hot Wheels ID. There's a lot of people making video games out there.
Oh yeah.
We'll talk about more of them next week, even, I reckon.
Yeah.
We sure will. We got to wrap it up there for another week. If you head to Patreon, you can get the bonus episode every week where we talk about all sorts of other pop culture. As we mentioned, the YouTube channel, get on there. Tons and tons of videos. If you're looking for some extra content, the live show in Melbourne on July the 2nd at Comedy Republic, or streaming direct to you wherever you are in the world.
Yeah.
Get your tickets. Can't wait to see the filth at the show. And maybe we'll try and have a way where we can interact with people who are streaming, watching it live at the time. Like maybe we'll try and get a little ticker going or something.
The way it should be streaming the way that we streamed our last one that we did ourselves, which should have a chat function. So maybe we just have a laptop on stage and because it would be fun to interact with everyone around the world and around Australia. You don't have to fly to Melbourne if you're in Brisbane. You can just watch online.
That's very true. Filthycasuals.com.au. That's where you can find all the extra stuff that we have going on. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
what would I do if I were a zombie in The Walking Dead? Well, I'd probably continue working on Death Stranding 3, which is what I'm currently doing. Thanks for the question. My name's Norman Reedus.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.